Hello and welcome to Dial F for Flanger, which is a comic pop culture chat show. And Flanger's my nickname, so if you don't know that, that probably helps inform you about what the title means. But today I'm talking to someone who I've been a fan of their art since the first time I saw it. I'm talking to artist Ahmed Rafart. And Ahmed is an artist who I discovered in, of all things, an Aussie comic. But he lives in London, and he has been the artist on a comic that came through Kickstarter called Gorilla My Dreams, which is a pretty fun comic about a talking gorilla who is a... I guess you'd describe him as a fairly hopeless private eye in a town populated by mimes and animals and talking cactuses and things like that. So it's the gritty animal crime noir drama that I've always wanted to read. But that's done by Tim Stiles, who is an Australian local. And Ahmed, how did you come to be the artist on this?
I met Tim for the first time on Fiverr, of all places. When I was first starting out, I set up a Fiverr account. It was suggested to me by a couple of people to start getting work, which was... apart from Tim, I think Tim is the only good thing that happened to me through Fiverr. The rest of the experiences were not that great. It wasn't really comics work. It was more in line of, I want a commission for my girlfriend's birthday. I want something for my office, you know, things like that, which is fine, but not what I was looking for in a career.
Yeah.
So it was, and a couple of very fussy customers. Like, I don't like how my face looks like with this. Change it. Why do I look like this and why do I look like that? But yeah, I met Tim through Fiverr. He was looking for somebody to illustrate Grow My Dreams, so I had some of my samples up there. We started with some concept character designs, and then we started doing pages page by page. And then when I got to know Tim, like when we became friends and we started working for some time, we took it off Fiverr and we're just doing it directly with each other.
Awesome.
I've never met Tim in person, and I'm dying to see him once.
Yeah, I have met Tim in person. I work for the same organization as him, so it was... we would bump into each other at work, and I'd see him on the work forum about comics, and he's a great bloke, really earnest, and
I'd love to meet. I mean, I'd love to visit Australia in general, but to meet Tim, this is the number one thing I'd make the trip for, because we've been working together for 6 years, and we are close friends now. You know, Tim is one of the people I talk to on a regular, I've been talking to on a regular basis for the past 6 years. Definitely at some point I'll jump on a plane and come and finally meet him in person.
Yeah, when we're allowed to jump on planes and it's safe.
Yeah.
So, Gorilla My Dreams, was that the first physical comic you ever were involved in?
No, before that I was doing an Osba, which is my Egyptian comic book. That's the very first comic series I've worked on. And I think this is how Tim... I had samples of an Osba on my Fiverr as my work, and Tim saw them and he liked the style because it was in the black and white grayscales. And he wanted something like that for Gorilla My Dreams.
Right.
And this is where... this is how it all came together.
Okay.
But Gorilla My Dreams was my first English language printed comic. Before that, it was all in Arabic. So it's kind of the first international thing I've worked on.
Right. So what was that title again for that Egyptian comic?
Al-Azba. That's Al-Azba is the Arabic name. It translates to the League. It's a group of six superheroes from different avenues of Egyptian society and culture. Try to incorporate as many parts of the folklore as possible. So we have an Egyptian, ancient Egyptian superhero Horus, things that have to do a bit more with medieval Islamic and mystic folklore, a bit of modern things. And yeah, it's like the Justice League or the Avengers, but Egyptian.
That's fantastic. I'd love to see that. The only thing of yours I've ever got hold of is Gorilla My Dreams, and I've always enjoyed seeing your other comic, which we'll get to, the one you've been doing.
Yes,
now.
Yeah.
But I mean, I really love your pin-ups and things and the samples. You've done that beautiful piece about Batman and Commissioner Gordon and the Old Guard and the Umbrella Academy and things like that, which, you know, that tends to tell me that your tastes run to the quirky as far as superheroes. And, you know, what sort of comics really influence you as far as, you know, story and then art?
In general, Batman obviously is one of the first comics that I've characters that I've read regularly for, and the art that's been in Batman throughout the years, whether old stuff like Year One or more recent stuff like Jock and Francesco Francavilla and other artists, have always been inspiring to me. But for Astronauts specifically, I think I was looking more at things like Archie comics from the 60s, a bit of Strange Tales, Marvel Strange Tales, a bit of EC horror comics, with an eye of somebody who's studying, besides somebody who's reading and enjoying the stories, because I was this is the kind of mood and the kind of look that I was trying to replicate in the work I was producing for Astronauts.
Yeah.
And in general, I enjoy. I think Tim was one of the working with Tim was one of the reasons why I started to enjoy more of the quirky stuff, because Gorilla My Dreams is also it is a noir comic, but it is a very quirky noir comic with all the different villains, the mimes and the clowns and the speaking cactus. So Tim comes up with crazy things, and I found myself enjoying to tell these kind of stories, the stories that are weird and quirky, than just something that is very serious and very much grounded in realism. I think we can all need a break from reality every now and then and enjoy something that is out there.
Yeah, I think if Gorilla My Dreams made it into, live action, it would require Muppets to really capture the feel of the comic.
I've always thought that it would work as an Adult Swim cartoon, to be honest. So I think doing it as live action would take away from the weirdness of it. I think something less limiting as an animation would work perfectly. I'd love to see it one day jump to a different format than just comics.
Yeah. So with your art, do you do it digitally or are you a physical artist?
I work digitally. I do everything digitally. I started off traditionally and then I transitioned to digital over time. But with World of My Dreams, for instance, it was all digital from the beginning. I respect people who work traditionally, but I'm terrible when it comes to mistakes and second guessing and all that. So working digitally has been a bliss. I can just easily change something I don't like weeks later without having to redo a page or glue a piece of paper over something and redo it again. It's much more easier for somebody like me. But all the respect to anyone who's working traditionally, it's way harder. I feel like cheating sometimes working digital.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's amazing how much the digital art tools have come down in price over the last 15 years and thing. I remember when they were, Jim Lee was the only one who could afford a Cintiq, and now you can almost get them at the supermarket. They're so cheap.
Yeah. The varieties are much more these days than 5-10 years ago, and also the kind of like you said, the Cintiq, for instance. I have Cintiq, and Cintiq is now not the most expensive model of tablet that you can find in the market. There are much more advanced and much more expensive things, but there was a time when Cintiq looked like magic, basically. It's there's a tablet that you can draw on and it looks like you're drawing on the paper. It was groundbreaking. Now it's just what everyone uses. So yeah, and I think that helped a lot of people as well, just work faster and be able to produce more work.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into the nudity thing. So
yeah.
Diary of the Astro Nudes, it's a really, it's charming. I mean, it's got lots of nudity in it, but it's just got this sweetness to it. It's got these, you know, naive aliens who come from another planet, and they wear a space helmet, and other than that, they don't wear any clothes, and they've got human bodies as such. So where did the inspiration for this come from?
Well, the inspiration is came from a lot of different places. I've been wanting to do something with that subject in mind, nudism and the nudist lifestyle and that kind of thing into comic form. And I When I started off, I didn't really have any specific idea in mind. I just knew that I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do something that looks retro, like inspired by 50s aesthetic. And I did this as a parody of Strange Tales covers in the beginning. The creation was shit, and people terrified, the usual setting that you see when aliens or monsters are on a cover. And instead of that, there were these two characters standing in the spaceship. I gave them space helmets just to make them look different from everyone else. And I posted the illustration. I didn't have any plans beyond that, really. But when I posted the illustration online, I got a lot of positive feedback on it. A lot of people were asking, is this part of something bigger, or is it just one-off? So I started thinking, well, maybe I could spin a story around that concept that has to do with the nudist lifestyle and also nudist camp films from the 60s. They had this wholesomeness, like you said, naivety or innocence of them. It was all very utopian and very idealistic. So I thought maybe I could try to incorporate that kind of vibe into the work. And I think, based on what you said, I think it's working. So
and you've producing a physical copy of it, and you're going to launch it soon, and that's on Zoop, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. So I've been posting the mini short stories, one-page stories, two-page stories, with these characters and this story over the past year and a half, and now that I've finished, I like to call them seasons because they're all mini stories, all collected, all tied together with one narrative and the same set of characters. So I decided I'd go for print. A lot of people have been asking, is this going to be in print at some point? And I thought that now is a good point to end this part and print it and then start a new one maybe later on this year.
Yeah, I really can't wait to get my hands on it. And because I just love your art. It has a... I mean, I'm not an artist, but I love your use of shadows and... you used black and white tones just to really show anatomy and curvature and things like that and form. And I just love your style. It's so bold. I'm really expecting you to be snapped up one day by someone, a huge comic publisher, and you take off, because I think you've got something very special. What are your aspirations as far as that?
Well, thank you, first of all, for all the kind words. And you're one of the people who've been there from the beginning. Because Girl of My Dreams was one of my very early works, and you've been there from when this started, and you've seen the journey. So thanks for all that. That really means a lot. As for inspiration, when I was a kid, I was really inspired by Jim Lee. I think everyone who tried drawing was inspired by Jim Lee at some point. But when I actually started working professionally, I think my biggest inspirations at the time were David Aja, the Hawkeye artist.
Oh, yeah.
And Francesco Francavilla and Jock were... These were... When I first started out and I looked at styles that I'd like to draw in, these were the artists that I was looking at and thinking, I'd like to do something in the same vein. I know I've steered away from that kind of style a bit later on as I started drawing more and working more. But if you look at my very first work, you'll see that I was trying to replicate their brush strokes and compositions and how they break down a page, basically. But these days, I think I pull inspiration from everywhere, really. Every comic I draw, I read, I try to take away something from it. Not necessarily incorporate it into my style, but just look at how the artist is telling the story, how they're positioning their characters, how to make the page more dynamic and convey the story in a better way to the reader. So my inspiration these days is just everywhere. I wouldn't be able to pin it down to one or two people.
And And as far as your personal attitude to nudity, like I'm going to confess, I have, you know, I've got a wife and kids, but you know, we're a pretty nude household. Like, you know, it's one of the advantages of living in Australia on a farm. You know, you don't have to worry too much about what you put on when you go outside to get, you know, something out of the car. Yeah, so you know, I'd notice quite a strong resemblance between your main astro-nude character and yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't specifically putting myself there as a... I don't want this to be my standing character, but it's just like I wanted something different from the clean-cut 50s usual look. I just wanted a distinction between the hosts on this Earth and the astronauts. So that's why I drew the character this way. And obviously, free photo references as much as I want when I'm drawing it. But for myself, yeah, I'm a bit of a casual nudist myself. I've been to beaches before. I've been to like events and resorts and things like that. So part of the philosophy in the comic is also personal philosophy. And a lot of the situations that I've drawn is things that, like, conversations I've had with people in real life. Like, for instance, there's one about working from home, which came about when we had our first lockdown in March. And I was talking to people, and a lot of people were saying that they're still wearing their office clothes at home just to feel like they are in the office while working. And I was like, why are you doing that to yourself? You're home. You don't have to do that. And somebody suggested, well, you know, maybe draw a comic about that. And I did. Obviously, in the comic I put that there is a sickness in the office and they gave everyone a week off. I didn't know that this is going to drag for 2 years when I was drawing it. But yeah, I mean, part of it is personal philosophy and just my observations about how we as society perceive nudity and the different contexts in which we see nudity. Like, most people are fine with nude art in museums, for instance, but they have a much more negative attitude towards actual nudity on a beach or in a park or something like that. So yeah, it's my own observations, my own philosophy through the eyes of the astronauts.
So what sort of attitude and you know, what do you think is really healthy about the attitudes of nudists?
For me personally, I've been somebody who's struggling with body issues most of my life. Growing up, I've gone through massive transformations body-wise growing up, and so I've always felt conscious about my body. And from what I noticed going to like events and resorts and things like that, the people you see there are pretty confident and are pretty chill about their bodies. Nobody's judging, nobody is judging how you look like. Most people are interested in the character more than how we look. So this is something that helped me. Like, we live in a time when social media and mainstream media makes it seem like you have to look perfect all the time, or otherwise you're not good enough. And it is a very unhealthy attitude to life generally. And nudism is, for me, it's like the opposite of that. That, you know, you should love yourself and love your body and whichever way it is, and no one judges anyone about how they look, and everyone's just very confident about themselves. So that's one thing that this kind of mentality or the atmosphere in these events or places helped. For me.
Right. So the irony of being fully exposed means people aren't putting any emphasis on that aspect and able to focus on other parts of their person.
Yeah. And when you're on a beach or something or an event and people are not wearing their clothes, you're not judging them by how they look, you know, whether this person is wearing a business suit or wearing whatever. It's like you take away this layer and you're able to see people through their conversations and their actions rather than just how they look.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine too that one of the things that keeps people out of it is the fact that, you know, they do have many hang-ups and insecurities and everything. So, you know, you have to surrender to it in a way.
Yeah.
So, living in London, is there much of a comic creator community that you get to participate in there?
There is. The community here is very strong. I've moved to England 6 years ago, and before that I was living in Egypt, and at least until I was living there, the comic community was not as there are fans of comics, but there were no conventions. There was like one comic shop that had to shut down a few years later, so there was no place for people to meet each other or hang out together or congregate as fans. Coming here at least before COVID times, there's a convention somewhere every month or twice a month in some city in England. A lot of indie creators producing amazing work. So it was quite a shift for me. I think it's only when I came here that I decided that I want to pursue a career in comics. I don't want this to just be something I do on the side every now and then. Whenever I'm free, like put time and effort into it, because look at all these people making comics and going to conventions and selling them. And I wanted this kind of thing as well. I wanted to experience that myself. I had never been to any comic convention before coming to England. So being here, the first time I've been to a convention, it was like my eyes were closed and suddenly they're open and I could see all the things in front of me. So yeah, it is. The community here is quite strong. A lot of people here had made the jump to mainstream American comics. I think Ranvi is the first, is the most famous out of the back, who had started off here and then now is doing a lot of amazing work for DC.
Yeah, Swamp Thing and Justice League Dark.
Yeah. But he's obviously not the only one. There are, I don't want to single one person out, but there are many people who started off here in the indie scene and made the move to mainstream comics.
Have you had personal friendships with artists, and have that made it helped with your art?
Yeah. Throughout the years, I've made a lot of friendships here. Obviously, because we haven't had many conventions in the past 2 years, it's been difficult to stay in touch with them. And because being in person and, you know, having conversations with people in person is still different from online. I mean, we stay in touch online and we message every now and then, but just meeting other people in person and being able to talk to them face to face is a little bit different. But yeah, the community here is very friendly and very welcoming, and they're always if somebody needs to help with something, they're always helpful. So yeah, it really made a difference being here and being in this community and seeing all these people doing amazing work and being at conventions and selling their work and progressing in their career. It's been very inspirational.
Right. So if someone is interested in what you're doing, where can they follow you and see what's there? I mean, I love your Twitter, and it's great to see your art constantly. And you're a pretty funny guy as well.
I made terrible jokes.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. I never make terrible jokes.
Well, I'm on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram with the same handle as my Twitter. And I have a link tree in my Twitter account with all the websites where my work is. There's the Astronauts web comic website. There's the Tim's Grill My Dreams store is there as well, for anyone who wants to read Grill My Dreams. Yeah, there's a couple of links there. But yeah, mostly Instagram and Twitter in posting there. And I prefer Twitter. Twitter is more interactive. You can talk to people and then have a conversation there. You can do that on Instagram.
Yeah, I find Twitter really good. But, you know, I think the trick is to not try and fight with people. So if someone says something you don't like, just ignore them and move on.
Yeah, I stay away from discourses, especially that I think they're on rotation. We have a Batman discourse every, like, 4 or 5 weeks. It just keeps going on in a cycle, so I try to stay away from all of that. I just post art and make jokes. That's
yeah. That must mean the Last Jedi discourse is about to start as well.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to put all that in the show notes so people can look you up, and I'll put pictures of your art on the website so people can see what you're doing. And if you want to get involved and get a copy of the Astro Nudes physical copy, we'll keep an eye on it, and Ahmed will be flogging the hell out of that when it starts on Twitter.
Thanks.
Yeah.
We're launching March 8th on Zoop. There's a link to a registration page on my profile where you can drop your email and get notified when the campaign launches. And hopefully I'll get everything ready in time. It's a race at the moment, and hard to get everything ready.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see it, and I can't wait to hold it. So thanks, Ahmed. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Thank you for having me, and then thank you for the support throughout the years. I mean, you're one of the people who've been there for me and Tim since the beginning, and have always been there since then. So a massive thank you for all the support that you've given both of us throughout the years. And thank you for all the kind words about my art. Really means a lot to me.
Oh, no, it's not hard. You and Tim have actually produced my favorite ever Australian comic. So, you know, every Australian comic I've seen, that's the one I want to read the most and want to see the most. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And all the best with the new launch.
Thanks. Thank you.